From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Food and Rest. The text is Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 15. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Under the divine shepherdry, saints are fed to the full. Theirs is not a windy, unsatisfying mess of mere human thought, but the Lord feeds them upon the solid, substantial truth of divine revelation. There is real nutriment for the soul in Scripture brought home to the heart by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself is the true life-sustaining food of believers. Here our great Shepherd promises that such sacred nourishment shall be given by His own Self. If on the Lord's Day our earthly Shepherd is empty-handed, the Lord is not. When filled with holy truth, the mind rests. Those whom Jehovah feeds are at peace. No dog shall worry them, no wolf shall devour them, no restless propensity shall disturb them. They shall lie down and digest the food which they have enjoyed. The doctrines of grace are not only sustaining, but consoling. In them we have the means for building up and lying down. If preachers do not give us rest, let us look to the Lord for it. This day, may the Lord cause us to feed in the pastures of the Word, and make us to lie down in them. May no folly and no worry, but meditation and peace mark this day.
Thank you.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he proceeds with this study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the theme of the gospel in a nutshell as he brings the next portion of a message called The Extent and Efficacy of the Gospel. The text is chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. With the words, but now in verse 21, Paul began to explain how God can justify sinners and remain true to his righteous character. The answer is found in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This is the essence of the gospel Paul had experienced and which he preached all over the then-known world, and it is the only message that provides the solution to man's sin and guilt. We see here also that it is the gospel for all kinds of men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches that God created man for his own pleasure, but through Adam's fall and by his own actions, man has alienated himself from God. In the gospel, God divides the means of bringing sinners into a right relationship with himself. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called The Extent and Efficacy of the Gospel.
Last week we looked at the essence of this gospel, the righteousness which is apart from the works of the law. How God brings us to the place of establishing us, as the preacher said this morning, in such a standing that we stand before God as righteous as Jesus Christ is. Just think of that. God takes an ungodly wretch, a foul and filthy, hell-deserving sinner, and he places him before the judgment bar of heaven. And such is the miracle of the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. Such is the clothing of that sinner with the garments of Christ's righteousness, that with that righteousness upon him, in union with Christ, that man is no longer condemned, but accepted in the Beloved. And accepted as the Beloved. That is the very essence of the gospel. Now, I have preached that to some extent last Lord's Day evening, and through this series in Romans, I have come back to that again and again and again and again. And I'm loath to go on to leave it behind, because this is the key first to the freedom from guilt that so afflicts many souls. This is more than a come to Jesus and he'll make you feel better gospel. This is more than some little theory of man that comes and tickles your feeling for a moment. This is something that goes to the very heart, the depths of the need of the souls of men. We are afflicted by guilt because of sin. We're alienated from God by wicked works. We are under curse and condemnation by nature. We need something more than a band-aid. We need something that will give us, on divine authority, a certainty of a new standing with God. That's what the gospel's all about, the essence of the gospel. It's the story of God providing us with a perfect righteousness that will stand the test of the judgment day, that will give you peace of mind, peace of conscience, that will silence the attack of the devil. I was just thinking of this last night, the early hours of the morning, just thinking of this very thing. Does Christ now appear for me in heaven? Is the blood of Christ now pleading for me in heaven? Is the righteous merit of Jesus Christ now imputed to me by God Almighty? Stop and think of that. Answer the question honestly. Is that so according to Scripture? Let's get away from, did I pray the right prayer? Did I weep enough tears? Did I feel deeply enough? Let's get to what Christ is and what Christ has done. Is this true? Because if this is true, then it is well with my soul. That is the very essence of the gospel. A righteousness given by faith in Jesus, through faith in him, alone, without works. Now we must proceed. That was verse 22, as a quick look at it. 21-22. Now we want to have a look at the extent of this gospel in verses 22 and 23. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. You'll notice that there are no verbs before the unto all and upon all, and that leads to some divergence of thought. Many believe, and I think with very good grounds, that we should carry forth the verb from verse 21, manifested, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, manifested, or which is manifested, unto all. It's very good theology there. God has one gospel for all men. He has manifested one way of salvation for all, Jews and Gentiles. They all must be saved in the same way. The Jew, the Gentile, the rich, the poor, the black, the white, the educated, the illiterate. Men of every distinction, they must all be saved the same way. Whatever distinctions race or religion confer upon us, and they do at times, the beginning of chapter 3 tells us the advantages that the Jews had by their race and by their religion over the pagans. But whatever those advantages may be, there is no difference in the spiritual standing of men by nature before God. There is one gospel for all men. Why? Because we are told there is no difference. How is that? I want you to see this now. In the great scheme of things, God is saying the things that men count important, differences of standing, differences of culture, differences of race, differences of religion, differences in their economic position, differences in their worldly attainments. He says they count for nothing. What does it matter? Stop and think. If I have scaled the heights of human fame and fortune, and I have gained the acclaim of the whole world, and die and go to an endless, burning, eternal hell, what is the use? I thought of that, and I think of it many, many times. It was back in the 1960s. I watched on television the most moving television event I have ever seen. And that was the funeral of Winston Churchill. I love Churchill's writings. I stopped reading his multi-volume biography with 1,100 pages per volume because it was taking up too much of my time. After 6 volumes, I thought it's time to give it a rest. I love his writing. I liked his spunk. And I admire the common grace of God that raised that English bulldog at a time when the whole of Western civilization stood in jeopardy. The greatest broadcaster I've ever heard, the late Richard Dimbleby, did the commentary. The pomp, the pageantry would have brought tears to a stone. Someone graciously brought me a copy of Life magazine from way back with all the pictures of the Churchill funeral. And every so often I pull it out and I relive that moment. And then my mind turns to some of the things I read from Churchill. And I've thought all this. And if there hasn't been at the end a miracle of God's grace, burning in hell, there's no difference. The distinctions that men count important are nothing. For, as verse 23 tells us, all have sinned. The tense of the verb in the Greek text simply says, all sinned. I think the reference is to Adam's initial sin. We all sinned in him and fell with him. And therefore we are sinners in our own person, and all come or fall short of the glory of God. To come short means to lack, or to be in want of, or to be destitute of. We all sinned in Adam, and we are now therefore all sinners who fall short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Surely the supreme glory of God is His holiness. We may fancy that we meet some standards of ethics and morality among men, but we fall short of the glory of God. We can't reach that. We have lost the glory of conformity to His holiness that God gave our first parents by their creation. Adam lost it in the fall and lost it for all his posterity. Not only so, but because of sin, we refuse to live for the glory of God. Isn't the command of Scripture, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all things to the glory of God? That's what we're supposed to do. Never has there been a man, unless it be the God-man, the Lord Jesus, never has there been a man who has ever lived for the glory of God as he ought to. I've often quoted the words of Revelation 4 and verse 11, that it's for God's pleasure that we are. Here we come to one of the greatest questions that men can ever face. Why am I here? Why do I exist? Why did God ever give me life? Why am I? We hear an awful lot of existential rubbish today where people are trying to find themselves. Who am I? We had a famous case in a little town called Hollywood in Northern Ireland where a big-time realtor was in a cafe. And they had made it non-smoking. And he went in, sat in the middle and started to smoke. And the waitress came to him and said, "Sir, we have a non-smoking policy. Would you please put out your cigarette?" And he said, okay. She went on and he continued smoking. She came back and told him again. The third time. And finally she went in to the owner and pointed him out. So the man who was also the chef and had his hat and all on him, he came out and he said, "I understand my staff has told you two or three times that this is a non-smoking restaurant." And this fellow got really angry and he pushed his chair back and he roared at the owner. He said, "Do you know who I am?" And just like a flash, this is one of those things I would think of about a year later, just like a flash, the owner said, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention for a moment? Can anyone help this gentleman? He seems to have forgotten who he is." Rather than getting into all that existential rubbish, who am I? You really don't have too much trouble knowing who you are. Good question to ask is, why am I here? Why am I? And the answer is, it's for God's pleasure. That's why we were created. But because of sin, we come short of that. We lack, we feel to live for the glory of God. And there's no distinction here. It's true of Jew and Gentile, black and white, rich and poor, educated and illiterate, the whole bunch of us. We fail to live for the glory of God.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.